Oh, we had a lovely retreat last weekend. And part of the retreat, the Santakaro who taught it, talked a lot about something called samadhi. And he gave a pretty good description of samadhi. It feels spacious, it feels bright, feels like there's energy, and it's sort of a collectedness of presence. And I was wishing he would say more about, so what causes samadhi to arise? And what sustains it? So I wanted to just talk a little bit, because I know a lot of us coming back from the retreat, coming back into real life and feeling all of that dissipate. And it's like, where did it go? So, as I just said, samadhi is kind of an energetic state of collected energy. And in a, when we sit, especially in a retreat, it's not so much that we're building energy or, you know, collecting it or storing it up, as much as we're not dissipating it. See you nodding. During the day, we dissipate our energy unconsciously. We do it through unfocused speech, you know, kind of idle conversation. Anyone who's been to a cocktail party and come home exhausted knows that. It drains energy to speak when it doesn't have purpose, you know, higher purpose to it. We drain it through allowing all those thoughts to proliferate in our head. Didn't you notice during sitting, the planning thoughts, and what about this, and oh, gotta do this? That all, it's like you have a little energy plug, and you've let the plug out, and it just dissipates energy. And we tend to live at kind of a dissipated level. And so we don't experience samadhi. And it's as simple as when you put the plug back in, the energy just naturally begins to accumulate. What makes it happen or what causes it to arise is the surrendering to our experience of what's ever happening in the moment. It's the surrender to the now. And the reason why that's important is we think we need pleasant experience to have samadhi. But that's not true. It comes from whatever experience we're having by just being fully present with it. Now, the opposite to samadhi is samsara, which is our default mode where we resist life and it drains. So samsara is the opposite. And what do I mean when I say we resist life? Well, things come up and the internal attitude is, I don't like it. I'm feeling kind of low and depressed today. I'm sick. I don't like it. I don't want it. The minute we say, I don't like it, I don't want it, we're suffering because we want to be somewhere other than where we are. Or you come to the meditation and think, I want to be more centered. That's samsara. That you think where you are isn't good enough. And the opposite, of course, is when you have a peak experience, the dreading of when it's going to dissipate, not wanting it to go away. So, you know, often we come to meditation because we think we want different thoughts and reactions to whatever the ones that we're having. If I just had more peaceful thoughts, if I just didn't have those jealous thoughts, if I just weren't in conflict, we want different thoughts. Or we don't want any thoughts at all. I want my mind to stop. You know, we see how the mind is constantly proliferating. We want it to stop. So samadhi, going back to samadhi for a minute, there are three parts of the Eightfold Path. There's wisdom, sila, or virtue, and samadhi. And samadhi is made up of three factors in the path. One is mindfulness, which is bringing your awareness to whatever is going on with you, noticing things. The second one is concentration, which is the stability of presence in the moment. And the third one is right effort, making the effort to do that. You know, it's that those three factors are also mirrored perfectly and another aspect of the Dharma called the seven factors of enlightenment. Are you familiar with those? And the seven factors both describe how samadhi arises and what sustains it, and then a description of what it feels like. And the first factor of enlightenment is mindfulness. So some kind of bringing ourselves to the moment, some kind of showing up. And the second one is the sustained investigation of whatever is arising in your experience, which we just did. You're staying with it. Oh, now this. Oh, now this. Oh, now this. And then seeing what underlies those things, the contractions, the little fears and worries, or the hopes and dreams that underpin what come up for us. And when you do those two things, the third factor that arises is energy. You put the plug back in, and those first two things stop the energy drain, and energy begins to build up in you. And sometimes this can be a little uncomfortable because we tend to have a certain default level that we live at of happiness, unhappiness, high energy, low energy. And when I say energy, it's not the agitated kind. It's just a feeling of the life force itself becomes palpable in your body. And the experience of aliveness, of the miraculousness, creates the fourth factor, which is the first thing that you feel with samadhi, which is you experience joy, well-being. It feels good to be alive and to be in that flow. It's a very joyful, well-being, positive experience. And with that, and again, this is being with experience, the second thing that happens is there's this ocean of calm. It just feels quiet because there is no resistance. And then the thing that comes after that is concentration, which I'm defining here as a steady presence in the moment. The mind is not distracted, just here. Just here. And then what arises, the final factor, is equanimity. When you're in that state, it doesn't matter whether you're having a nice, pleasant experience or whether things are pretty, you know, maybe your body's really painful. Maybe you're out in the cold and it's cold, or you're in the middle of a tense situation. Doesn't matter. Equanimity can hold it all. So in that, in that way, samadhi is choiceless. When there is no preference for experience, there is no suffering. I wanted to share a couple of personal experiences I've had over the years just to kind of fill out what that feels like, at least in my experience. Both of which taught me that if there's no experience, no matter how crappy it is, that can separate me from my own samadhi, then it doesn't matter what's happening in life so much. And the first one is in 1998, and I'd been practicing 4 years, I experienced depression. And for any of you who have experienced clinical depression, it kicked my ass. I could barely do what I needed to do. I had 2 kids at home, I was working, it was so hard, everything felt gray, you know, like in a tunnel. And the worst part of it was my meditation just felt crappy. I couldn't concentrate for 2 breaths. It's like my mind was just gone. I lost my mind, literally. And I sat for a couple of months struggling. Why can't I stay present? Why can't I be in the moment? Oh, this is awful. Will I ever meditate again? Oh my gosh, this was my refuge and now it's gone. And then I don't know where it came from, but one day I was sitting with this, or trying, and what came to me was, well, what's the direct experience of not having a mind that will do anything? What's the direct experience of having a mind that can't settle, that has no energy, that feels gray? And when I actually sat to, well, what is this? The samadhi was there. It changed my life. Another experience I had was some years later, I was doing a self-retreat up at the Song in the Morning. I don't know if you guys have been there. Anyways, it was a self-retreat. I was on my own. And during that retreat, strong feelings of self-doubt came up. And it wasn't just self-doubt, it was self-loathing, self-frustration. Oh my God, I'll never get this, I can't do this, I'm such a fraud, oh, I'm so inadequate. All those feelings were coming up really strongly. And that was really hard. You know, I wasn't around other people, it was just me. And then I recognized at the same time, there was this strong samadhi that was arising at the same time that blew me away. And I thought, well, if all these feelings of self-loathing and self-criticism cannot separate me from this samadhi, this deep collected sense of being alive, then it's not a problem. It's just not a problem. It's just what's arising. That changed my life. So the nature of suffering is the very second we say, I don't want this, we're suffering. That's the nature of suffering. And meditation is the process of developing, what is this? Well, what is this experience? As the new default. If our old default was resisting life, the new default is, well, what is this experience? Okay, I've got this respiratory thing. I can feel it in my throat. Instead of like, oh my God, I'm gonna cough. Just, oh, well, what is this? It's a different default. And it comes gradually as we practice. And I think we've all seen the fruits of the difference between, oh, this is so frustrating, and oh, frustration is arising. What is this? What's the direct experience of this? And you recognize that the you, or the part, the awareness that says, what is this, is not having that experience. Becomes your new default, becomes the new center of gravity. Not perfectly, we go back and forth all the time, as we all know. But we know it's there. That's this path. So our point is that we're not looking for a different life. We're just looking for a different relationship with the life we already have. That's freedom. That's samadhi. Thank you.